This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential, but it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made, and from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
I'm for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Hopefully, a little sleep did us all well. Hopefully. It didn't help our record out at all, but that's what it is. But it's wonderful to be with you, faithful. Now, grades are out from PFF. It woke up early. Film came out early, which was nice, I guess. So we've already started kind of the whole breakdown of what happened, and it was just so obvious early. Offense was cataclysmic, how bad it was. We talked yesterday just about how, like, Dominique Pooney was so bad. Jake Brindle was so bad. They were worse. The tape made it worse than what it was. Both of them could have been called for two extra holding penalties each just in the first half. It was bad. So what we're going to do today, we're going to go over some of the grades, PFF scores, offense, defense, some of the analytical things that stood out, update some defense and offensive ranks, kind of bounce around some new ideas on some things that could change, perhaps. But, man, it's good to be with you guys. This is episode number 1270 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. Thanks to our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, Kilted Niner, and David G. Want to say thanks to all the hashtag CCs. What's up, Monkey Boy? Hey, RTP. You guys are the freaking man. Appreciate y'all. Hey, Mike, how we doing, man? Alejandro in the house. Yeah. Right here, Sean. Told you, John. Mock draft tape time. I'm still waiting. It's coming soon. But with our short week this week and me flying out to Buffalo at Thanksgiving, I'm not touching draft stuff for this week. We lose this game versus the Bills. Ah, then it's mock draft time. But I'm still holding out hope, man. I might be one of the last ones, and that's okay. That's okay. What's up, Dave? Hey, Sonia. Glad that everybody is with us. So let's start off. Let's talk injuries. Let's deal with that first. Shout out to the great Juan Salas for getting us the clips from the pressers last night. Here's Kyle Shanahan breaking down just the injuries from the game.
Guys, injuries. Jordan Elliott was out with concussion, didn't return. Flanagan Fowles, knee, didn't return. Renardo Green with a neck. And Aaron Banks left for concussion also.
Yeah, a couple concussions, neck. That's kind of weird. It's weird, though, because the players that came in for the injured players, not in Renardo Green's case, but in Aaron Banks and Jordan Elliott's injuries, the backups were better. Analytically, film-wise, early on, like, yeah, Ben Bartsch was better than Aaron Banks. Not shocked there. Banks has not been good this year. And what's his name? Evan Anderson was way better than Jordan Elliott. And Shanahan even talks later on in the presser how, oh, our best run defender, Jordan Elliott. I was just like, wait, what? What did he just say? Like, that's how I know Shanahan doesn't pay attention when the defense is out at all. Like, Jordan Elliott finished as the 14th ranked player in the game with a 50.6 grade, which is good for him. He's been so bad. Like, I was even saying to the game, like, I don't know why Jordan Elliott's getting so many snaps. He's not good, especially against the run. He had a 53.2 run grade. Not terrible. Evan Anderson, 60.2 run grade. Evan Anderson's better than he is. At this stage in his career, already, this is somebody we're paying a lot of money to. And yeah, he's a fallback option, but Evan Anderson's way better. Jordan Elliott hasn't had one consistent good game yet. He's just not consistent. He gets turned around, can't handle double teams. He doesn't have the strength. I like Jordan Elliott, and I think that he's a situational player. But to say that he is a good run, I want to see this. I'm looking up his stuff now. He's terrible first of the run. Listen to these career run grades. He's having his best run defensive year. He's got a 62 grade this year. That's the best he's ever done. These are season-long grades. Rookie year, 47 against the run. 45 second year. 33 against the run third year. 45. 62 is better, but nah, he has not been a good run defender at all at any stage this year. Like, it was just like, Shanahan, what are you talking about? Like, do you not watch the defensive tape? I know he does. But it was just like, whoa, you got to be kidding me. Aaron, appreciate you. He says, keep the faith, baby. What's up, guys? Appreciate everybody showing up. Richard, keeping the faith until the last possible moment. That's what's up, man. We the diehards. A lot of people were with us yesterday, and I'm very thankful for that. Today's show, yeah, it's hard to wake up and talk some Niners, especially after getting schlacked like that. That was bad. What's up, Darren? My man. Right here, Sean, can't fault someone for staying hopeful longer than they should, but it's D-U-N-D-O-A. Done, dead on arrival. I love it, man. Sean, you're a funny man. You're a funny man. Appreciate the D-U-N, though. That is awesome. Don't bother me. What's up, Steven? How we doing, man? What's up? Aaron, John, I was screaming in excitement last night until the Debo drop. Actually thought we had a chance. Yeah, that was a killer. When you have a captain that's there, and, you know, captains, Barrows put out an article talking about how we had 7 captains play yesterday and only one played well. Yeah, that's George Kittle. A lot of the other captains, yikes, 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 yikes. And which is, actually, I disagree. Kyle Juszczyk played awesome. So, again, you know, I didn't read the whole article, but no, Kyle Juszczyk, I thought, had one of his better games by far. Got the first down. His blocking grade was incredible. And if you want to know how bad this game was, only 3 players had above a 70 grade, 7-0. 60 is replacement level starter. 70 is average starter. 80 is good. 90 is all pro, right? We only had 3 players above 70, offense and defense combined. Nobody on defense. Eesh. George Kittle had a 90.7 grade. He's an all-pro player. He's unbelievable. Jalen Moore played all snaps, every single offensive snap, had an 81.7 grade. Dude balled out. And the film showed that. Now, one of the things that was really, really cool is they helped both tackles the whole game. Not the whole game, not every play, but a lot of plays where they chipped. They lined up Juwan Jennings tight, where the alignment just helped Jalen Moore. You line up Saubert, you line up Kyle Juszczyk, you line up Kittle, and you're just helping both tackles, Colton McKivitz and Jalen Moore, and it worked. It worked consistently. The interior, not so much. But anyway, three players above 70. George Kittle, Jalen Moore, Kyle Juszczyk with an 80 grade. I think that's Kyle Juszczyk's best grade of the year. Yeah, considerably. 72 week one, and then this week, 80. You know why? He played 20 snaps. That's where he should be. That is where Kyle should be. He had a season low in snaps, but his highest grade. That's what Kyle Juszczyk should be. That's where it should be. We've been calling not for, you know, I'm not here to be mad or angry. Man, I don't know why my camera's all jacked up. Sorry. But like Kyle's well along in years. Like you need a little less so that the efficiency can still be there. It wasn't there. And so now you take away some of those snaps and now he's excelling. That's huge. But the fact that you only had three. Three guys above that is just, that's a lot. It really, really is a lot. Or few, anyway. Defensively, yikes. Oh, man. Highest graded player, Diamador Lenore, 69.6. So he's right on the cusp of that. But, yeah, let's go through. Let's talk. Defensive scores, which the defense now sucks, man. Here, let's sandwich this conversation with quotes from the man, Fred Warner, on just how bad this game was defensively.
Yeah, no, that's about as bad as it can get. Probably the worst I've been a part of. And, you know, even then it was still, 17-7 to end the first half. 10-point game, still had everything in front of us. We just didn't make the plays we needed to. It's probably one of the worst ones I've been a part of. You know, it is embarrassing. You got to take it on the chin, take it like a man, and move on.
Yeah, worst. Defensive ranks now. 20th in points scored. 25th in third downs out of 32 teams. 28th in fourth quarter scoring. We were first last year. 29th in rush touchdowns. 29th in red zone percentage. We're a bottom 10 defense in the NFL. We were top last year. We were the best defense, maybe second best. If you wanted to argue and move some numbers around, top two, the injuries matter. No doubt about it. The injuries matter. And here, like, let's go to Kyle. And he's like, oh, yeah, the injuries matter. But this clip's interesting.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a good old line. They got a good scheme. You know, they ran the ball well. I mean, when you say we're missing physicality, I mean, we are missing some guys, you know, especially some of the more physical guys in terms of like Greenlaw and stuff and some of our D linemen and, you know, losing our biggest run stopper and Jordan Elliott during that game. So when you're missing some guys out there, which makes a difference, but I thought they did better in the run versus in the second half. Offensively, I don't think we're lacking physicality. We just didn't get a run game going today. And a lot of that has to do with not attempting to do much of it, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad. You played 71 defensive snaps, 49 offensive snaps. That's huge discrepancy, first off. Huge, huge. So let's go through the scores. Demo number one with the 69. Malik Mustafa, 69.3. Malik was great. Jair Brown, 63.8. The fact that you have three secondary players at the top is interesting. Malik Collins, 63 grade. Leonard Floyd, 61. Sam O, 60. Sam O had more snaps than Leonard Floyd. I've been calling for that all year. Again, these older players, their efficiency will go up with less snaps. It's very simple. And just because Nick Bosa is out doesn't mean Leonard Floyd needs to play a lot more. Leonard Floyd had his best game as a Niner. Still not very consistent and, you know, missed tackle, whatever else. But he had the two sacks. He had the two tackle for losses. And he played 43 snaps. Sam O played 45. That's what it should look like. Even when Bosa comes back, don't give Leonard Floyd more snaps. Don't do that. He's not as effective, just like Kyle Juszczyk. These old cats, you've got to put them on snap counts. You've got to. Evan Anderson, he was 8th, 58. Yetur Gross-Matos, 57. Now let's go to the bottom. 18 players took defensive snaps. Worst graded player, Renardo Green. Didn't think he had a good game at all. He had two missed tackles. He get two of the missed tackle. He had more than that, but he didn't even get a hand on the outside leverage in the first quarter. He blew outside contain twice. Gave up three receptions on five targets. Man, 51 yards receiving, had a penalty. Then he got injured. Not great from Renardo Green. Not bad, but not great. You need him to step up with Charvarius Ward out. Now with his injury, neck, who knows? Charvarius Ward, you slide him back in. I think that's what you got to do. Second worst player, Fred Warner. We've never said this. He had a 44 grade. What the hell? Four missed tackles. Ah, not good. I don't know who this man is. That is Fred Warner. It sucks, man. Devondre Campbell, third worst, 46 grade. I think this is six consecutive games. D. Winters has been better than him. But D. Winters got 22 snaps, played really well. Isaac Yiadom, fourth to last. Jordan Elliott, fifth to last. Like, not great. Defensively, just wasn't there. It just wasn't there.
Thank you, Noah, the Casio G-Shock. Thanks to its legendary toughness and timekeeping autonomy, it's no secret why the mighty G-Shock has earned its place on the wrist of weekend warriors, first responders, and militaries all over the world. But there's levels to this stuff, and there's a little-known collection of top-shelf G-Shock watches made for folks who crave the very best for everything in life. It's called the MRG. This flagship line of G-Shock watches takes the most cutting edge of tech G-Shock has to offer and blends it with the highest levels of traditional Japanese craftsmanship. We're talking about hybrid titanium and Kobarian case construction with artisanal armor-like flourishes, all honed like the edges of a samurai sword. Every beloved reference in the G-Shock collection gets coveted MRG treatment. From the original square case digital reference from 1983 to the beloved analog Frogman dive watch, all the way up to the newest fan favorite, the MRG B2100, with its octagonal bezel and its wild interlocking beams dial. Discover the full range this holiday season at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in 49ers Rush to receive a special gift with your next G-Shock order.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At me and I feel complete. Then you come at me like the Wolverine. And even though you often turn your back on me, our love goes deeper than a submarine. No, I don't want clay dust inside of you or chemicals in the place you poo. In my arms or in your box, our love will be pure.
World's best cat litter for the world's best cat.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, From worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, shout out to Chris. Oh, I love this. Says, was just watching the therapy session last night, was cracking at the pet rock and the cow. Yeah, I got a couple emails on that one. Some people were not happy with those. Hey, I need like disclaimers on the therapy sessions. Like, don't hold me accountable for, for what I say. Kind of like people don't hold Nick Sorensen accountable. There are people still defending this man. I don't understand it. Like football people, like film people. I just don't get it, man. Sonia. Yeah, Fred has been very quiet past two games. Yeah, he's been bad. Bobo, LaFleur was running up the score to shove it down Kyle Stuckey. I think he should have ran it up more. He should have. I would have if I was him. Yeah, LaFleur. Kyle has beef with all of his friends. That's just Kyle's personality. That's just who he is. Like, yeah, they're friends, but they ain't calling Kyle to hang out. I'm telling you that right now. That's not what it is. Captain, appreciate you, man. He says, love Fred, but sounds like he phoned it in. I don't think he's been right since his ankle injury. I really don't. Now, Fred's never missed a game since we drafted him, which is crazy. We drafted him in 2018. He has not missed one single game. But, yeah, it's not good. Ghost not playing with any passion. I agree. Carlos, my man, he says, John, did you see how Pooney answered the press? He's a baller. Not only on the field, but yeah, he took full accountability, talked about how he can't have that many penalties. And again, just finished the offensive breakdown. So if y'all want to go watch that, that's up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon page. But he said, yeah, I can't play that way. You can't win games with that many offensive penalties. I love Dominic Pooney, and he is a rock to build kind of the foundation around, but he was bad. He still finished way ahead of Jake Brindle for offensive line. He finished with a 50 grade. But, yeah, not good. Not good. So if you want to watch the breakdowns and all that stuff, head to the 49ersrush.com. Also, we have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout meeting tomorrow, Tuesday, the 26th at 5:30 p.m. The link and all that stuff's already been posted on our Patreon and all that stuff. Come say what's up. We got a 7-day free trial. So if you haven't joined us, this is the time for me to listen to you. And we just have fun conversations, a really cool community. And if you're not one to participate, man, you could join, turn your camera off, hit mute, and just listen. It's an hour plus of just good times. By far, one of my favorite times of the month. It's just always so busy during the season. So it's always kind of hard to get to that point. Oh, look at this. We got a hello from Indonesia. That's what's up. I appreciate it. Shane, what's up, John? Unfortunately, I'm not a happy camper today. All I can think of is Sorensen has got to go. I can't deal with them anymore. Gosh, it's bad. And, you know, I made fun of them yesterday, and I'll make fun of them more today. That 12th back-to-back 12 men on the field was just absurd. Now, Kyle talked about this yesterday at his press conference, and I feel like you could give him a little bit of slack, but not too much. Here's Kyle breaking down just the back-to-back. And again, the refs are always going to screw us. It's what it is.
They had 12 personnel, two tight ends in the huddle, which means we have base defense out. They sent another receiver on the field to sub, which when they sub, they're supposed to allow us to sub. So as soon as they did that, we started to change our personnel. And then they rushed up to the line and snapped it. It was a strategic play by them, but one that I don't feel should have been allowed. They didn't give us time to sub on that. And that's why I was upset on that. And then the next one, because they got away with the first one, they tried to do it again the next play. And that's when I went out there arguing again. This time they did allow us to sub. I was out there screaming the whole time. So I'm not exactly aware of what happened with our 12 guys. But obviously we had 12 guys out there. They gave us time to sub and we didn't get one off. So the second one was on us.
Yeah, that's huge. And penalties right here, Steve-O. 9 penalties back-to-back weeks. And so the penalties are huge. But like, okay, again, just in the first half, you get a 2nd-and-1 penalty, incomplete pass. Now you got a 3rd-and-long. 2nd-and-1 to 3rd-and-long, you don't go that way. That happened 4 times in the game. 2nd-and-short, 3rd-and-short, penalty, back you up, put you in terrible situations. We went 3-for-15 on 3rd-and-4th downs offensively. Penalties killed us. 100 plus yards lost just on special teams alone. We're not a well-coached. We're not a well-disciplined team. We just aren't. Sancho, appreciate you, man. Any word on Mr. Greenlaw? No, but I do expect them to activate the practice window this week or next week. I think we still got some time, and you got to see what he looks like. It's an expiring contract. You got to see what it looks like for to know if you got to resign him. Because let's just be honest, if you're not going to trust D Winters, which this coaching staff surely won't, you fire Nick Sorensen, get somebody in there that knows what the hell they're doing. Anybody could see that D Winters is better than freaking old man Campbell. Anybody could see that. Analytically, film, eye test, you just watch. It's obvious. But they're not going to let him do it. So you got to find somebody who can. Is it Greenlaw? I hope so. He's my favorite player on the team. He's my favorite player on the team right here. Monkey Boy, Debo not talking to the press after the game is a rough look. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Especially after the TO talk and a captain who didn't perform and started fights before. He was one of the guys out there. That's what Debo does, right? That's where his name comes from. But like, dude, little coward, a little bit of a coward. Like, it's crazy to say that. Yeah. They ask you to talk to the media and you refuse to after a bad game. I don't know, man. Just that's lowbrow. That's lowbrow. I love Debo. I love his attitude. Provided one of the huge sparks. You got the holding call on Saubert. It was questionable. Refs never going to go our way. But yeah, like, especially as like a professional podcaster. yeah, man. Why are you going to miss your chance? Why don't you get up there and plug your podcast? I actually don't have a problem with players doing podcasts and all that stuff at all. The amount of time that you could only spend on games, make your money while you can. I get it. But yeah, like, you got to back it up, man. That's what it is. You got to back it up. And you had two of the biggest plays of the game negatively on that dropped interception. That was probably the worst play of the game. Would have been an amazing catch, but Steve-O says Debo has podcast fatigue. Man, I love Debo. I do. The chat is on fire today. What's up, Papa J? Y'all keep it going, man. I ain't mad about this at all. Right here, I thought Campbell was in midair at the snap on the first one. Technically, not on the field. Right. It's very similar. He was in midair. He jumped. He didn't know the rules. You got to step out of bounds. It's kind of like the ball has to touch out of bounds. That's when the clock stops. So the jumping was a bad play. Yeah, I was thinking about this whenever I watched it as well. So we're trying to sub him off. Ref screwed us. That's what it is. On the first one, you got to touch out of bounds. That's when you're out of bounds. But he jumped. He didn't know. It's not basketball. You're not saving a ball. You got to get out of bounds. So anyway, take that for what it is. Yeah, but yeah, it was a penalty. It was a penalty. Let's see here. This is a constant thing that I don't understand. So I want people to help me here. Papa J, appreciate you. He says, Kyle's coming up with excuses, unexcusable, take accountability. Man, all I heard was accountability the whole time. Like, I never heard about, like, here, let's go to Kyle.
I mean, the whole game was. So, to label the biggest one, you know, the first half, just the run defense was real disappointing. You know, I thought we got out of gaps a number of times. I thought we had way too many missed tackles. Just them being able to control that clock in the first half was one of the worst ones I've been a part of just for as far as a half. I thought we stepped it up there in the second half, did better, especially in the run game. Offense got an opportunity to get going. They gave us an opportunity to get back in the game. And then to have those three turnovers, that all three led to touchdowns with 21 points. You top that with the penalties and stuff, and that's how you get embarrassed like that.
I don't know. Like, I think people want him to say, it's all my fault. I don't know. I don't hear somebody not taking accountability ever in these. And so maybe I'm the weird one. Like, do you want him to say, it's my fault that we're losing? Because I feel like whenever he criticizes the offense, he's criticizing himself. That's how I take it. Maybe I'm taking it incorrectly. But I don't see a lack of accountability. Now, I like this super chat from Gold Blooded. It's on theme. Shanahan needs to adjust his scheme. More teams run our offense now, and defense aren't being fooled. Reed McVay can adjust with missing pieces. Doesn't seem like Shanahan could do that. That is true. Defense sucks. I love three complete sentences on why the offense isn't working, and then you get two words to sum up the defense. Defense sucks. That is awesome. Cold-blooded, thank you for the super chat, your generosity, and well said. Yeah, adjustments need to be made. No doubt about that. Adjustments need to be made. You got to stop the penalties. Got to stop the turnovers. Got to stop the penalties. Got to stop the turnovers. Listen to George Kittle and his keys to victory. I love this.
Like, hey, what are your goals of victory? Hold on to the ball. Run the ball a ton. Don't turn the ball over. And I don't think we did any of those three.
There we go. Steve-O says, you know, Shanahan said, we, that's on us. And so like, okay, this is, all right, so this is an issue for me because, how do I phrase this? I try my hardest to be inclusive, and this was whenever I coached as well. Praise flows down, blame flows up. That's just good leadership. And so whenever I'm the head coach, if something good happens, it's players and it's assistant coaches. If something bad happens, I am way hypersensitive to those types of things just because of how I was raised and the home I was raised in, but not the healthiest environment. a lot of verbal abuse, lots of different things like that's okay. But so like for me, I came into that situation as a coach who worked freaking, man, my first coaching job was middle school all the way up to high school, you know, head coach. Shoot, also supporting Duckville today, baby. What's up? Dominated 49-0 in the Texas playoffs at halftime. 49-0. Let's go. Let's go, Duncanville. Get back-to-back-to-back state championships. We're working on number three. But like I say, I say we when we talk 49ers. I use the all-inclusive. I do all the time. Except for whenever it's bad. And especially whenever things are bad. And let's say we do a road trip, right? Which we have a road trip. If you're coming to Buffalo, come say what's up. Can't wait. Can't wait. It's going to be a freaking blast. We're going to be out at the Rec Room Saturday from 2 to 6 p.m. in Buffalo. And join us for our tailgate, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go get your tickets. Now, we've got a freaking badass team. Like, people don't understand. Yeah, it's me. I'm kind of the red cheeks of the organization. But we have 10 to 15 people that help us put on these events that fly across the country and all these things. And sometimes things don't go wrong. Hopefully the public doesn't notice that. Working with players and agents and venues that I've never been to. And you got to pay all these cooks and bartenders. And like, it's hard. Flights get delayed. Hotel issues. Airbnb. Like, unbelievable. So you have to, again, this is just a leadership take. I have to take responsibility for almost all those things. Maybe I need to be better at that. When things go wrong, when things go well, you guys did a hell of a job. You guys created an opportunity for fans to make new friendships. You guys, we, never me, unless it's bad. If it's bad, me, I. Not us, not we. Maybe that's a Shanahan critique. And so, yeah, right here, Steve-O. Shanahan said we. That's on us. I think he includes himself on that. If you want a humble coach, Shanahan ain't ever going to be him. He is not humble. He's never going to be humble. You had Tom Sula. How was that? You also had a megalomaniac in Chip Kelly. We didn't like that either. That dude didn't even have press conferences. He didn't even have them. I don't even know the answer to these questions. It's just, this conversation is interesting because I get so many. And a lot of the people, you know, friends that are Niners fans that I know don't watch the games. They don't even watch the games. They'll all text me the same thing. Shanahan's arrogant. Shanahan never takes responsibility. And I'm like, man, I've watched every press conference for 8 consecutive years. I don't see that. I don't see that. Right here, he's putting blame on the defense. Yeah, the start of the game, you have to. The defense was so bad, man. Back-to-back 10-plus yard scoring drives to start a game. Like, injuries aren't even a concern there. Everybody's fresh. But, yeah, he did start by blaming the defense, 100%. Mark, 4th-and-2, empty backfield. I almost lost my freaking mind right there. Ugh. Dave, wide receiver job is to catch the football, right? Debo's not a wide receiver, not a wide back anymore either. So what would you say you do here? Thanks, Bobs. Yeah, I'm a Debo guy. Right here, Steve-O, saying it's my fault only makes fans feel better, changes nothing. And I get the hate. We have to focus on something. It's very easy to focus on the head coach. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve criticism. That's all I'm saying at all. Gosh, I could go on for days about my criticism of Kyle Shanahan. Fourth and two, empty set. Are you kidding me? Never running the ball inside. Why the hell is Jake Brindle still out there? Like, yes, why are we the least screen team in the NFL when all you do is draft screen players? We ran two screens. They both worked. We never do it again. We run the fewest screens in the NFL. How the hell is that possible with this team? How the hell is that possible with this team? I have no idea. Play action, Brandon Allen was unreal. We run the fewest play actions in the NFL. That's what our entire scheme is built on. What is it with these empty drop back sets? I understand Brock Purdy loves those. Brock Purdy did play. You had freaking Brandon Allen back there with a broken finger, slipping, sliding all over the damn field. Can't see over the offensive line. Brandon Allen. Every time you ran play action, it worked. Stop doing that. Every time you ran a screen, it worked. Stop doing that. Every time you run up the middle, it worked. Stop doing that. Now, yeah, I got plenty of criticism for Kyle Shanahan. There's no doubt about that. But that doesn't mean you move on from him. I don't think you do. I think changes need to be made. For sure, right here. Ed, all these fans after Kyle is absurd. He's an incredible coach. If you are a fire Kyle Shanahan fan, you don't understand football. Yeah, I agree with that. I do agree with that. Doesn't mean criticism. I just freaking 10 off the top of my head. Bobo. Appreciate you, Bobo. That's exactly what Kyle needs to say. The loss is on me. I failed to prepare these men properly. What does that do? What does that do? I guess it would be nice. Captain, you know, Kyle is taking accountability, but will he actually do something about it and make changes? Ooh, Mike. I want to hear him say I should have drafted O-line and I will draft trenches next. That's what I want to hear. Thank you, Mike. Mike speaks my language. Mike's a freaking man. But yeah, like that's what we want to hear. My biggest critique of Kyle Shanahan is spending a first-round pick on Ricky Pearsall. Has nothing to do with Ricky Pearsall, this critique. And then not using him. Zero catches in two games on a first-round pick. Meanwhile, you got Jake Brindle. Let's talk Jake Brindle. Let's talk the all-time watcher. How many plays did you guys see Jake Brindle just standing there? Jake Brindle was the lowest graded starter that we had with a 41 grade. 41. 41 grade. Yikes. He now has the lowest quality score of any center in the NFL in pass blocking. He is 38th out of 38 qualifying centers for snaps. There's only 32 teams. That means six teams have a backup better than our starting center that we refuse to criticize or do anything. He is the worst player on this team. He is the worst player on this team, and they do nothing. They do nothing. Instead, we draft kickers. We draft punters. We draft running backs on running backs on running backs. We trade up for running backs. We draft tight ends that can't block. We draft wide receivers that can't catch. Yet, Jake Brindle still persists. What was the quote about Cassius Marsh? One cannot simply take the job from Cassius Marsh. Cassius Marsh is an all-pro compared to Jake Brindle. Like, how many bad games can we put up of this guy? I just don't understand. I don't know, man. He's so bad. He's 32. And we're just, Jake Brindle, yeah. He doesn't get hurt. Plays every snap. Got to give him credit for that. He's very athletic. He has good snaps. He doesn't have bad snaps. That's great. But it's just like, man, we're not a serious team as long as 64 is our starting center with no backup plan. I really drives me insane. Jake Brindle is so bad. You know, I asked on Twitter, I put this post out there. Y'all can go interact. And I don't know. Maybe y'all want to interact on here. The question was easy. Oh, wow. It's got 71. I asked this less than an hour ago. I said, if you could make one change to the current 49ers team, what would that one change be? Just one change. I just left it open. Didn't start a poll. Didn't talk about players. Didn't talk about coaches. Didn't talk about play calling. Didn't talk about draft. Didn't talk about anything. Now, before I went live, I just scrolled through some of the answers. It's 71 responses now. Jake Brindle is the common theme. Jake Brindle and RDC. Those are the two. So I want to pose this question to you. And we'll go through some of these responses in the second part of this show. If you could change one thing on the 49ers, one specific thing, player, play calling, coaching, whatever, one thing, what would be the one thing that you would change? Y'all got to tell me what it is.
Now here's the game plan. This Thanksgiving, load up your plate, grab your phone, and lock in your picks. MyBookie's giving you a risk-free football bet, plus a shot at a growing prize pool. And if you're new to the family, they'll double your initial deposit with our promo code 49ERS. So here's the thing, how it works. Devin Achane, if he scores the first touchdown in the Dolphins versus Packers game, you get paid big. If he doesn't, MyBookie's got your back with a full refund. I call that a no-lose bet. Also, starting Monday, MyBookie's Telegram prize pool contest kicks off. The pool starts at $15,000 and grows by an additional $5,000 every time they get a new 1,000 new subscribers. All you have to do is join the Telegram channel by December 1st to lock in your share. Now, here's the good news. If you're already subscribed, you're automatically in. The more subscribers, the bigger the winnings. So spread the word and tell them use code 49ERS for a no-risk bet on Devin Achane to score the first touchdown. Double your initial deposit. Enter into the giant prize pool contest that kicks off on the 1st. So check that out. Head to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
All right, so I want you guys to tell me, you could change one thing about this team, what would it be? And I got to start off with my man, Dave. He says, Jake Brindle reminds me of the song, Stand in the Place Where You Are. Yeah, I freaking love it, man. I believe that's R.E.M. Or something like that. Yeah, dude, I need to talk to Juan. I need to talk to my man, Juan Salas, and just like post snapshots. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll... Dude, why not? It's a short week. It's the busiest week ever. I think I'm going to do that. And Dave, this is your idea. I'm just going to take snapshots from different games, just pictures, still pictures of Jake Brindle watching the play. And I'm just going to put that song to the background. I'm going to put it on YouTube and Twitter, and I'm going to get copyright striked, and they're going to shut my channel down. But I will be doing the Lord's work. That's what it is. Look at this. We walked on the moon. Jake Brindle's new barnacle. Yeah. And you know what's crazy? Here. All right, here we go. Do you guys want to know? This is the career earnings of Drake Brindle, which makes me happy, by the way. Like, anytime anybody makes money, I am very, very happy. He's made over $8 million. You'd think it'd be a lot more, but, you know, he's been in the NFL for a long time. All of his money has come from us. All of his money. All of it. Man, he's still got... Are you kidding me? He still is under contract? Oh, my God. He's under contract for... Okay, just two more years with void years. We put void years on Jake Brindle? He's got a $2.5 million cap hit after he's gone. Now, none of that's guaranteed. You can cut him next year, get a couple back. But if he plays for us next year... Oh, my gosh. He's got a $5 million cap hit in 2026. Get that shit out of here. What? Who is this man's agent? Wow. I hope he gets... Oh, my God. Yikes. Woo. That's rough. Oh, that's rough. All right. Let's move on. What is the one thing you would change? Right here, Celestial. Fire sword said... I ain't mad at that. If we're being magical, I'd change the number in the win column. Look at you, Dave. RTP Matthew says, my man DC, change the DC. Yes. There should be someone over Kyle in charge of personnel decisions. Yeah, Kyle got to pick his own general manager. Yeah, we're drafting well. Personnel decisions have been bad lately. That Javon Hargrave was about as bad a contract as you could possibly have. Nobody's paid dividends. Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, Jordan Elliott. Malik Collins was a good trade. I like that one. The draft has been good. But yeah, I wouldn't mind somebody saying, look, we're drafted offensive linemen. Shut up. Shut up, Kyle. Shut up, Chris Forrester. I love those two guys, by the way. But shut up. You're drafting offensive linemen, period. You're drafted a center in the first three rounds. Figure it out. Simple. Right here, Papa J. I would say no more podcasting for the players during the season. Man, make their money. But yeah, when you start podcasting, it gets bad. Ed says, replace Nick Sorensen. I like that. Slick. Kyle should fire Sorensen a la Ari Gold. There. Oh, is that it? That's the, shoot, I know that reference. The HBO. Yeah. Get out of here. It's, yeah, dude, I know it. What's the name of the freaking show? Turtle. Come on. Ah, man, I know what it is. I never watched the whole series, but yeah, I got the Ari Gold reference. I understood that reference. I can't think of the freaking name. I see the board. Entourage. There we go. We got there. I'm a little slow. Monkey Boy, Kyle not being so hard-headed. It'd allow him to grow and see beyond the yes men around him. Yeah. I don't like him hiring only yes men. I do not like that. Mr. Joe, Kyle, since he's been here, has not taken the offensive line seriously at all. Where's the evidence? Of the 8 years Kyle's been here, he's not drafted an O-line in the first two rounds. In the first 2 years. We drafted... What's his name? Mike McGlinchey in the first round. That was ninth overall pick. But yeah, you're correct. We drafted Air Base in the second round. Pooney, third round. Burford, fourth round. Kivitz, fifth round. Jalen Moore, fifth round. Just going off the top of my head here. You drafted guys, but yeah, you need to spend more top three round picks on players. Give Mason more time. I like that. Start drafting linemen again. Oh, I freaking love that. Kyler should fire himself. Nah, nobody going to do that. Dave, I get that Sorensen sucks, but he's a first-time coordinator. I'd fire Schneider first. We've lost too many games because of special teams issues. Facts. Facts. Play more RBs? Yeah, can't draft more RBs. We can't possibly draft more running backs. It's impossible. We do it every damn year. They're never any good. We have not drafted one single good running back at all. Our best running back since Shanahan has showed up, CMC you traded for, Matt Breida undrafted, Jordan Mason undrafted. Jeff Wilson undrafted. Raheem Mostert undrafted. Do you see a theme? You suck at drafting running backs. You suck at it. Stop doing it. And yeah, I'm putting Garindo in there. I'm sorry, I'm out. I'm out. If for that reason, I'm out. I'm on Shark Tank. I'm out. I'm not saying you give up on him, whatever else, but like, dude, you cannot let him return kicks anymore this year. You can't. You can't. You cannot let him return kicks anymore. Dude fumbled more times than he got back past the 30. I would change the schedule. Four teams off a bye. Worst rest day in 2 years. Yep, there we go. Our schedule sucks. It didn't help at all. I'd change the head coach or at least get him to OC. That's never going to happen. Yeah, you can change the head coach, but who are you going to put in there? Yeah, you can't keep Kyle. He'll be a head coach somewhere. Running back rotation. Tommy, remove the voodoo curse of this roster. Man, we were healthy last year until the Super Bowl. Bring Saleh back as DC. I want Jeff Ulbrich. I want Jeff Ulbrich. I want Jeff Ulbrich. I do. Right here, Mr. Joe. In 8 years, Kyle has not addressed the offensive line. We drafted Mike McGlinchey. That's the one. Riley. But yeah, you're correct. I'm with you, Mr. Joe. Riley, I want to say fire Sorensen, but I don't know what replacement options there are. Just put Brandon Staley there. It can't be worse. Put Bullocks there. You interviewed him. Put him there. There's people out there you can get. What would I change? The 49ers mental state. Sin, look at that. She's smarter than us. I wonder... What would you say wraps up or encompasses the mental state of the 49ers as a whole? It's like bend but don't break. It's like cautiously optimistic. It's not forceful. It's not aggressive. It's passive. And I hate that. Yeah. Is Brindle part of the Cabo crew? I don't know who started that whole Cabo crew thing. I don't have a problem with that either. Season's over. Like, there's nothing wrong with hanging out with people. Those are your friends, your coworkers. I don't have a problem. I know a lot of people do, but that's okay. Right here, Matt, do you think we are one good center away from at least one Super Bowl? Man, if we would have just drafted Creed Humphrey instead of Aaron Banks, who was there, we traded back, he was still there. I'm telling you right now, yeah. And the weird thing is, I think if we just stayed healthy in the Super Bowl last year, if either John Feliciano or Dre Greenlaw didn't get hurt, I think we win that game as well. Like, we were there. We were there. Brindle is horrible, and Forrester keeps saying he's good. Proves he's a yes man. Yeah. And that's okay. Like, I get it. Like, as a coach, like, you have favorites. Just as fans, we have favorites. But it's magnified because you're around those guys all the time. And so for Chris Forrester, who has been with Jake Brindle, man, let's look at his stupid career. I mean, he has been with Chris Forrester since 2016. So they've been together for a decade currently. I get it. Yeah, he's an awesome dude. He does everything you want. He's a coach's favorite. I get it. But at some point, look, dude, I know he's your boy. But nah, man. Nah. Like, trigger the Wesley Snipes Harlem Knights, like, picture with the gun where he's crying and, like, you got to put your boy down. Some point that just happens. Hesitation and the emotions are there, but no, he ain't it. I wish I could pop that picture up there right now. But y'all see, he's got the freaking hat, you know, on the steps with the gun out. Anybody? Come on, man. How hard is it to upgrade the center compared to other positions? It is difficult, but every other team does it, including Shanahan-style schemes. They do it as well. Shanahan just wants a vet in there, but that's great. Your vet sucks. Mike says Staley to DC. I'd be cool with that. Jam, Kyle has tunnel vision. Forgets he has other running backs. Yeah, Jordan Mason needs more work. It's just what it is. Yeah, Riley says, you know, I just want Kyle to strengthen his weaknesses mainly. And we all know what they are. Over-reliance on the passing game. You threw the ball 29 times with Brandon Allen in there. Now you're down 17-0 right off the start, but abandoning the run game is never going to go well. You had 3 turnovers, and you weren't even a high prolific offense passing anyway. Fire Sorensen. Yeah, Entourage, everybody. I'm behind on the chat. Yeah, you guys are awesome. Right here, NY Niners. Ulbrich for DC and Bones Fossil for special teams. Let's go. Oh, my gosh. You trying to turn me on, NY Niners? You trying to turn me on? Yeah, I would take that in a heartbeat. Oh. Sonia, 49ers are depleted in all phases, mentally, physically, literally need a miracle to at least complete this year with dignity. Now, here's what's crazy. And I hate that I'm this guy, and I know people are going to be upset. Whatever. I knew whenever I posted it that people were going to be upset. Yeah, people say the stupidest things. If you look at the division, the 49ers lost no ground yesterday. None. In fact, they have a better chance now at winning the division than before any games were played this week. That's correct. Hold on. Let me explain. If you look at the NFC West, we're in last place. We were in last place before, but now we're tied. The Rams lost. The Cardinals lost. The Seahawks won. Seahawks are currently in first place. Now, why is that a good thing? Because with the Cardinals losing, everybody's divisional record sucks. Nobody has a good divisional record. Now, you need a couple things to happen, but the 49ers play the Cardinals and Rams still. Those two are must wins. If you win those, you would be 3-3. Well, if those two things happen, the Rams will be 2-2. The Cardinals will be 2-2. The Seattle Seahawks will be 2-2. You need a little bit of cannibalization or whatever between the non-division games you don't play in. But there's a chance that, man, you very easily could have a tied divisional record. Now, what's the tiebreaker rules? Let's go to the NFL tiebreakers procedures. Now, it's different with two clubs, and three clubs. If you're tied with one team for there, and I know somebody's like, why are we even talking about this? Dude, you're one game out. And the divisional record very easily could be a tie. And then you go to conference record, and guess what? Conference record. Seattle Seahawks are 3-4. Cardinals are 3-4. Rams 3-5. 49ers 3-5. You have two more conference divisional games. You have more conference games. But, like, it's crazy how this division sucks so bad that this team could get blown out and be under 500 and still literally be one game out of first place hosting a playoff game. And I know it's, like, weird to say, but, like, you look at the tiebreakers head-to-head. We tied. If we win those games, we tie 1-1 with every team in our division. Best one-loss percentage in games played with the division. That would be a wash. Best one-loss tied percentage in common games. Well, that's different for all three, and that would take an hour to sort out. Then you go to best win-loss in conference. That's tied. Like, I'm just saying, if the Niners somehow found some freaking fire and pride and started freaking playing like it and go on a little bit of a run, I'm not even saying be perfect. You got six games left. If you go 5-1, I think the 49ers win this division. Do I think they'll go 5-1? No, not with what they're doing now. Not with what they're doing now. But that doesn't mean that it's not there, right? I don't know. I'm just saying. It's right there. Jam, no chance of winning Buffalo. We're already 6.5-point underdogs. But are you getting guys back? Josh Allen, he's the MVP right now. And they're the best team in football. But I have a couple betting axioms. I never bet on Josh Allen games ever. Why? Because that dude is the best or the worst player on the field at all times. And he's my Russell Westbrook basketball analogy here. He can't stay consistent for too long. And the amount of turnovers that that guy could do in one game are incredible. Remember the game where he fumbled on the one-yard line? All they had to do was kneel it, and he still lost the game? Like, yeah, the Bills should destroy us. They're way better than – I think they're the best team in football when they're on, but they're not consistently on. Is it a winnable game? Yeah, it's the NFL. Anything could happen. What if you get Purdy back? What if you get Tripp back? What if you get Bosa back? What if? There's a way there. There is a way there. Look at this, Papa J. The only way I can describe the NFC West is we're in a Mexican standoff right now. Everybody's pointing at each other. All four teams have hope. They really do. And yeah, there is a chance. I love this. I'm not putting that Cipolla comment up there. I never want him mentioned with 64 ever. Right here. It's happening as you speak. Washington just fell off against the girls yesterday. Help from all over. Far from over. We didn't even drop in the standings, like the playoff standings. We went from 10 to a tie for 10th. 7-5 is the last playoff spot. There's ways. Do I think we'll make it? No, I don't. But it is far from over. It's far from over. Right here, Bobo, don't kid yourself. The season is over. If this team plays in the playoffs, it'll be out in the first round. Why? Why do you say that? Why? I get, yeah, they haven't been good yet. But this team isn't playing in the playoffs. The team 2 months from now would be. And guess what? If this team gets on, nobody wants to play us. If they do, I'm not saying they will. There's fixable things. Like, that game yesterday, yeah, you got you got destroyed. But it's not like they put us away. We gave the game away. We gave it away. You know, this is a little bit longer clip. And they asked, I think this is the right clip. I'm sorry if I clicked the wrong one. They asked George Kittle, who's freaking awesome. Like, why are you still optimistic? They talk about how optimistic he is. Are you still optimistic? Here's Kittle.
No. Why would it? I mean, we're not.
The question, the way it was phrased, was, have you lost your optimism? To which he started the clip with, no, why would I lose my optimism? And then here we go.
No. Why would it? I mean, we're not where we want to be by any means. Losing by, what did we lose by, 28? Ooh. Losing by 28, you know, that's horrible. We don't want to do that by any means. Obviously, you got to watch the tape. But I think our first two drives, penalties backing us up, kind of put our defense at a disadvantage. I think they were at like, it felt like they were on the field the entire first and part of the second quarter. So time possession was tough. I feel like that's something that I try to emphasize every single week. Like, hey, what are your goals of victory? Hold on to the ball, run the ball a ton, don't turn the ball over. And I don't think we did any of those three things tonight. So I think that's why we lost like that. We had, three turnovers in the second half. They were 5 for 5 in the red zone. That's really tough. Hard to win on that as well. But no, my optimism is not broken by any means. We still have a lot of very talented players. We will get some guys back. And I still have full trust in the coaching staff to put our guys in position to make plays. And I got no worry about that. But definitely uphill grind. And gonna see what we're made of, which I'm looking forward to.
Dude, see what you're made of. Like, I get we're not where we should be. The 49ers are not a playoff team currently. I get that. You have to earn that. They've dug a hole. Now you got to earn it. Like, who are you? Right? Kittle, I'm glad that we get to see what we're made of. To this point, haven't done it. Haven't done it. But the past does not dictate the future. It is the clearest indicator of what will happen moving forward, but it's not always correct. It's not. It's not. This team has more success than they have had failure. So, yeah, that's difficult, but if you get right, man, it could happen. NY Niners, please give me 46 Kittles, right? Mr. Joe, what is Kittle supposed to say? That's just who Kittle is. I love people like that. Why not? Like, I don't want somebody that's going to hang their head and give up and quit. That's weak. That's weak. I don't want a quitter. I don't want that. Can't win with them. Can't do it. Can't do it. Right here, RTP. John, can't wait to reference this episode when the Niners get in. Hey, man. Oh. Whew. Right here. Ever heard history is bound to repeat itself? Yeah, I know that quote. It's yeah. What's that mean? If that's the case, the 49ers are in, right? Do I think the Niners make the playoffs? I don't. If you do, go put a bet on them because right now it's like plus 800. So we'll see. Right here, Bobo says, you know, I don't see it, John. We should run more, but Kyle passes. We should go for it. Kyle punts. Kyle went for it on fourth down. 0 for 2. We went for it twice on fourth down. Went 0 for 2. We should play Mason. He's on the bench. That's why I don't see it. Yeah, there's lots of things that need tweaking. That's not why. I literally, there's lots of issues. But the season ain't over. It ain't over. It feels over. It ain't over. Dude, you're literally one game out. You go 5-1, which is difficult, and I'm not sure this team could do it, but 4-2 might have a chance. Probably not. You've got to have, you know, other teams lose, but guess what? The whole division is currently right at 500, right there. So, like, if they continue on that pace and you get a little bit better, 4-2 might do it. You would finish 9-8. You got to win some tiebreakers. It's possible. You go 5-1 and you're 10-7. I think you're in. You go 6-0. I think you won the division. Period. But I don't think that's going to happen with Buffalo and Detroit. Those are your two hardest games for sure. We'll see. Yeah, Bobo, 4th-and-2 of the shotgun. I lost my mind. I was just furious. Anyway, that's what it is. You guys are the absolute best. Love y'all. It's frustrating. I get it. But I want to hear from you guys. Tomorrow, make sure you join us over on the 40hoursrush.com or our Patreon for our Zoom hangout, 5:30 p.m. If you're going to Buffalo, come say what's up. Rec Room Saturday, 2 to 6 p.m. And then our tailgate. Oh, our tailgate's going to be epic. Can't wait. In the snow, in the cold. It's a bucket list item for me. I've always wanted to go up there. I've never been. So come join us. You know any Niners fans that are going, please share the information. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. And until next time, you are the absolute best. Love y'all and stay strong.
Faith.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.